flowing in our life is the Word of Christ dwelling in us abundantly. And here the word is the word logos, which is the word that means the living word in us. It fills and it saturates us. It is not just memorizing the Bible. Because you see the results here. It says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That looks exactly like being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5 verse 18 and 19. But here he's emphasizing the Word. And if you analyze Colossians 3:16, next, put it next to Ephesians 5 verse 18 and 19, you see, how is it that one is the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, one is the Word, and both have the same result, speaking in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Then the key comes out, that the Word and the Spirit always work together. Always produce the same thing, and in essence they are actually one. They are not separated at all. They are actually one. Jesus says, my words, in John chapter 6 verse 63, my words are spirit and they are life. The Spirit speaks the Word leads back to the Spirit's presence. They both work together, and omnipresence is always related to the Spirit of God. But how does the Spirit of God work? Through His Word. That is one of the simplest but yet least practiced keys for the Christian. Many Christians don't know that if they will sing unto God out loud, in some sing spiritual songs, and allow the Word of Christ to dwell in their life, the presence of God will come to them. All you have to do is worship God, and that presence comes into your home, into your place, wherever you are. That melody that is in your heart needs to be released out with your mouth. And then verse 17, with all those things, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. That's the third key to releasing the presence of Jesus. Call upon His name. When you write a letter, lay hands and say, in Jesus' name. And when you do anything, call upon the name of Jesus. As you invoke the name of Jesus, that name carries His presence. Brings about His presence. That's the third key in that presence. And remember, all these are what Jesus says. He says, my peace I leave with you. Not as a world gift do I give to you. He was so particular about His peace coming to our lives, because He knows that will bring His presence to our lives. And then He talked about His words, let my words abide in you. Abide in me and let my words abide in you. And then in John, the three things are found in the Gospel of John 14, 15, 16. You find those three things there. Because Jesus was going to leave them, and He was not going to come back again physically. And it was like His last sermon before His death on the cross. And so they were going to go to some days without Him. He's going to appear again after His resurrection, but only intermittently. So Jesus taught them those three things in the Gospel of John 14, 15, 16. He taught them, number one, in John 14, His peace. My peace I leave with you. Then in John 15, He gave them His word. Abide in me and my words abide in you. Then in John 16, although He mentioned in 14, 15 also, but in John 16 He especially mentioned His name. Ask whatever you will. His peace, His word, His name were the keys He gave the disciples to continue His presence with the Holy Spirit. Finally, in chapter 4 of the book of Colossians, Paul gives thanks having seen the omnipotence, the omniscience, and the omnipresence of Christ, he sees here in chapter 4, in verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. We only see these two keys that we're going to focus on in Colossians 4, that prayer can be made vigilant. What does the word vigilant mean? Vigilant means is to make it more effective, to make it more forceful, to be more watchful. How do we do it? How do our prayers become more quote unquote effective? By adding thanksgiving. That's all he says. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. When thanksgiving comes into our life, and the only way is when we begin to see that He is all powerful. Is there anything more powerful than Him? Nothing. He is all knowing. Is there anything that He doesn't know? Nothing. He is all and everywhere, omnipresent. Is there any place where He cannot be with you? No. Then we begin to realize what a mighty God we have. And all your problems, no matter how great, and I know how pressing earthly problems can be, when it's your personal problem and it's something most important to you, I know how pressing a human being can reach a point. But if you keep your eyes on God, on His omnipotence and omnipresence and omniscience, you realize Jehovah Shammah, He is there. He is with you. And when you begin to see that Goliath, and you compare Goliath with you, you compare your problem with your ability to solve it, you look at your mountain and your ability to deal with that mountain, and you say, I'm just a grasshopper. But wait, don't compare Goliath with you. Compare Goliath with that omnipowerful God. And I tell you, if Goliath and you look like a grasshopper, when you put Goliath with God, Goliath look like a tiny virus. Your problem will be nowhere to be found. So the key he gave, first of all, the powerful key of thanksgiving. And you read on what thanksgiving include. It include walking in wisdom, letting your speech be seasoned with salt. But the other important point to take note here is in verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now here's a point where we want to take note here. In chapter 2 verse 10, he says, you are complete in Him. He says, I thought I'm already complete. But look at chapter 4 verse 12, he says, Epaphras is praying that you be complete in the will of God. So although potentially we are all perfected and God calls it done, to bring it about in our lives takes prayer. Here, there are two combinations of prayer. Is the word agonizo and the word prosuke are found in verse 12. So there is a deep prayer that we need to move into. And I summarize chapter 4 as bringing two main keys. Number one, the key of worship and thanksgiving. Number two, the key of deep prayer. It looks like unless we earthly creatures move deeply into this area, we will not tap on the omnis of God. The omnipotence, the omniscience, and the omnipresence of God. And I have a tape on we all know what it's like to taste the omnipotence of God. A small little bit of His power. We know what it's like to taste a little bit of His omniscience, a little bit of His knowledge. But wait till you taste a little bit of His omnipresence. Not that you can be omnipresent, but there is, I have a tape called Traveling in the Spirit. And it's a realm where Paul says, I behold the order of the Colossians. And there's a realm of traveling in the spirit. It is not like astral traveling, which is demonic and occultic. But there is a different realm, like in Acts chapter 8, where as Philip was preaching or baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch, he was caught up in the spirit. And he was taken off. And there is a realm there that is in believers, like in 2 Kings 5, when Elisha told Gehazi and said, did not my heart go with you when you turn and follow Naaman? He said, my heart. And Paul in the book of Colossians says, I behold your order. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, I'm just giving all the scriptures because I like on time. 1 Corinthians 5 says that when you all gather together to pronounce a judgment on the person who was committing sin, and gather together with my spirit present. So there is a realm where although you cannot be in more than one place at one time, yet when in the spirit realm, where movement is at the speed of thought, it is a taste of the omnipresence of God. And the two big keys to move into that realm are worship, that is thanksgiving, and everything else included worship, and deep prayer. Those are the two big keys. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and we thank you that you know each one of our hearts and our lives, our thoughts, even before we think them. You know our desires and aspirations. You know every detail of our life. Father God, you are the omniscient God. And you are the all-powerful God who can help us in every situation. And you, O God, are the omnipresent God, present in every place where we can go. Father, we know that you watch over each one of us. So we ask, Lord, for a measure of this greatness of yours in our lives to experience, Lord, that we may know you in our finite minds and in our finite hearts. Oh God, we can come to love you more because you have become a representation of humanity, oh Lord Jesus. And in you we are seated in the heavenly places. In you we can partake of the Father. In you, oh God, we can partake of the Godhead. We can never be like you in the sense of your great omnis, oh God. But we can partake a little drop of that which you have, O Father. So we ask, Father God, that you would cause us to understand our position in Christ as we understand who Christ is. For Lord, unless we know who He is, we will never appreciate what we are in Him. So show us the bigness of our God so that we could see the bigness of what you can do through our lives. And we will give you all glory and honor for all that you do, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rise together and sing that song in moments like this. Oh, how we want to love Him and worship Him.